session number 11961, row 8.
Mr. Miller, Real 8, you were telling me about how you struck a bargain with this farmer.
Yeah. Oh, well, I struck a bargain with him. I said, what's it worth to you? I said, if me and my mate unloaded. So he said, what do you expect? I said, well, anything. I said, from half a cow to five. So, well, he says, look, he says, if you'll do that, he says, I want it put in heaps so far apart. I says, well, we'll do that. Well, when we had a couple of goes at it, me and the stoker, we found it was asking a little bit too much, you know, for us to unload that, because we was forking it up, you see. So I done nothing else. I went back to the headquarters, and I approached Sergeant Major, and he says, what did you want? I said, well, I want a tipper, if you're going to let me have one. He said, well, you better go and have a look and see if there's one on the park. Of course, they were. You had to wind them then. You had to wind them up to tip them. So I told him, he said, well, are you coming your wagon? I said, no. I said, I'll come by train. Oh, he said, well, he says, best thing you can do, he says, is to, I'll put a driver to go with you. He says, and a stoker. He says, and if you go there, he says, you can let them have your steamer to come back with, and you can keep the one as you go with. I said, oh, that'll be all right. So, of course, he turned out to be a good proposition. And that Sergeant Major, at the finish, he made me a blow belt. He was what they call a transport saddler or something. But he used to work at Webley's and Scott's in Brummagem, making revolver holsters and things like that, you know, in leather. Well, he made me a blow belt, a leather blow belt. You know what they are, don't you?
A money belt type thing.
Yeah, like a...
Round your waist.
Yeah, that's what I put round your waist. Well, you know that I had so many half a crowns.
From the farmer?
From the farmer, I had so many half a crowns that the blow belt, instead of being flat, it was round, you know. And my ribs were sore carrying the weight, because I used to have to wait until I got to a post office, and then I'd get all that money out of my blow belt and then buy a postal order to that extent and send it home. Of course, I was married then, you see, because when I come back from France and there was put on convalescent and passed unfit for foreign service, I thought, well, I can get married. You see, I wouldn't get married until I knew I was safe. And
so you married the girlfriend you'd had before the war?
Yes, I married the girlfriend before the war. Now this is where you do things in the army, and they encourage you to do things to get a better position and to be of a higher rank, you know, that sometimes you fall in the soup. Now, when it come to Christmas, the Scotsmen, they was on the, what's it, they used to have New Year's Day for their holiday. Well, I put in for Christmas Day, and so did Geordie. Well, it turned out to be a bit of bad luck for us, because just before the Christmas, as this come about, they'd applied in Ireland for a driver mechanic.
Hang on a bit, I'll come back, because that's at the end of your time in England, isn't it? I mean, that's when you went off to Ireland, so I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
This Foden wagon, that was another one of these traction engines, was it?
It's a little...
A small one?
Yeah, a little wagon. Your boiler and what it.
Besides this manure run you were on, you know, taking the manure, what other jobs were you given to do?
Oh, hay baling.
What did that involve then?
Baling hay and carting it down to Southampton to be carted over to France.
Where were you based during all this?
Bedfordshire.
Which town or village?
Bedford.
Bedford itself?
Yeah.
Because I thought the first job was with the Fodens was from Aldershot to Liss.
Oh, well, of course, you see, these people used to apply to the RASC or MT to the requirements they required. And if, same as a farmer could have his land ploughed on conditions he got so many acres. But if he hadn't got so many acres, then it was useless for him to apply. Well, these farmers that used to have the clover ricks and hay ricks, they used to go round, the army had, and they used to be a watchet about that long.
About a yard long?
About a yard long. And it'd be a WD at this end. And at that end, there used to be a watchet opened out. Pushed it right in. And when you come to pull it out, them things opened.
Like a harpoon or something?
That's right. They opened so you couldn't get it out. And of course, when we used to go to bale this here, we used to see which ricks we belonged to the government, which they'd accommodated.
Did you enjoy the work on the traction engines?
Oh, well, of course, it was life. Sometimes it was rough.
When?
In the winter time, when the farmer's ground was soft and what it, you know, and you got heavy traction engine, your wheels would go round and down you'd go, and you'd put what they call spuds on the wheels, a certain distance apart. But if you didn't manage to get out with them on, we used to carry a sleeper, a railway sleeper, and we used to get in line with the front of the engine and dig a trench the length of the sleeper at about 2 foot or 2 foot six deep, put a big chain around the centre of it, and then run your belly wire out, and that's your cable wire. Run that out and fasten that on with a shackle, and then get your engine going, and what I mean, so you pull anything out with that. You could pull it up a a mountain if you come to that. But there was one occasion, when you would try to avoid going through that manoeuvre, you would look around and see if there was a tree that was, you know, handy, useful. You knew the length of your wire, about 400 to 500 yards, very steel wire. Well, you'd look and see if there was a tree. If there was a decent tree, you'd sling a chain round it and hook on and let the tree take the strain. I done that once with a farmer's apple tree. The mate went and stood up where we fastened it round the tree, and I set the engine going, and all at once his arms went up, whoa, the tree was coming, his apple tree was coming towards it. Oh, well, we had quite a lot of stuff. And we used to, when we got on these farms, we'd see a chicken come cackling from under a hayrick, you know, something like that. And the stoker would get the fire rake, and he'd get the rake underneath, and he'd rake perhaps a nest of 24 eggs or something like that, you know. We used to test them in a bucket of water to see. I forget now whether if they floated they was good, or if they sunk they was good. But anyway, one way or the other, we used to take them to the billet ladies, say, where we were billeted, you see. Because when we went from farm to farm, we used to have to go from billet to billet, you see.
So, did you get on well with the farmers and with the people who billeted you?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, we used to get on well with them. It wasn't mostly the farmers that would have us. It was the villagers themselves, you know, that would have us. And they'd look after us fairly well. Well, we used to go more so when they'd got five or six rinks to do. I'd perhaps leave me mate, stoker, to look after the engine for half an hour, and I'd go round and I'd set some snares for rabbits and things like that and take them off. I took a hare home one day to a little lady, and she didn't know how to cook it. She didn't know how to skin it. I said, I'll skin it for you. There's plenty of life, you know.
So you were in first you're in the Aldershot area, and then you're in the Bedford area.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, all to take all round there. I got snowed in at Dunstable Downs on one occasion.
How did that happen?
The snow. It snowed and watch it, and I got every taxi engine and a load of hay. And, of course, the wheels kept going round and nothing happened, and it was a jolterty journey, doing more harm than good. So the only thing I could do was to report to the police. And they'd tell them who you was. And they'd say, well, hang on, we'll see what we can find you. And perhaps you'd hang on a half an hour or three parts of an hour, and they'd say, we found you a billet at so and so. And then, as soon as you got to where it was, you'd notify your headquarters that you was billeted, couldn't move, and that you were stuck. And they'd do the best to be out the next day to see how you was, to convince the people that it'd be all right, they'd get paid for looking after you, you know.
I believe you once had an accident in a town with a clock tower or something. What happened then?
That was coming down from Grove Park, as I told you.
Was that in the early days, then, when you were learning?
I wasn't actually learning. I'd learned. But a coincidence of time, as I told you, Grove Park was a dispersal centre. Well, a good many of the vehicles they used to have would be sort of scrapped, they'd be ruined. So what we used to do there, we used to get so many engines, take so many parts off and put them on parts of an engine we thought was best to get in running order. Then, if we got a convoy going, we'd have one pull at the front, one shunter at the back, and about three or four in the middle, useless, just steering. Somebody steer. Now that's where the quartermasters and the sergeants used to say, no matter what you are, get on that vehicle. Well, it's happened, as I had about four fellas that was real petrol drivers, never been on a steam wagon. Well, the steering is so different.
Why? Because you have to turn it round more times.
You have to turn it round more times before it'll grip. Well, it's come to Lewisham, and there was a triangles, like that might be, a triangle, see? Well, we've got to come down this road and turn sharp round to the left. Well, I blew my whistle and stopped to pull at the front. And he pulled up and I stopped him and I told him, instead of waiting, to go onto the road that was coming up on the other side of the clock, to go out round there and then to come down and take a good sweep, you see, so he'd have room to turn. Well, it happened that he was quite in awe in what he'd done. It didn't matter to us being on a up road and a down road. It took no notice, WD, you done what you liked then. But anyway, he went round, and the next one must have took a shorter cut, and the next one took a shorter cut, and the next one, bloody hit it. He hit it, the pillar at the bottom. The clock come over. So I had to blow the whistle and stop the convoy. Let them get through that had got through. And then I had to get my engine, put it on the front of the one that had hit the clock, towed him across the road to where we got to go. Tonbridge Wells we was going to. You've heard of that, have you? It isn't far. And any road. We got cleared, I watched it. And you know that I was there for 4 or 5 months after that, and that bloody clock was still hanging over on his side.
Liv used to have a problem with gateposts as well, farmers' gateposts.
Oh, yeah, well, you imagine you've got a farmer's gate stump, or stumps. You've just got about 6 inches, or we'll say a foot at the most, for you to get through with a 20-ton traction engine. You've got some shunting to do, you know. And you get it bit at a time, and you get it level, and eventually you think, well, I'm okay. And you let her go, and you let her go through. Now, if it's been raining and it's wet, the ground's soft. Them stumps, they're in about, we'll say, we'll put it down to 2 or 3 foot. And when your wage comes on, your stumps go out. Well, when you get in there and you come out with a load of hay, you've got twice as much room to come out as what you had to go in, because your weight of your engines push the gate stumps out, you see. And land drains, a farmer, I got into more trouble with land drains through the farmers than anything.
Can you just explain?
It's just taking a notice. As I say, the LWD.
He used to collapse them when he went over them.
Well, you see, land drains, they're not fixed collar to collar. They're just placed in, you know, to drain his fields up. Well, if you're going to run out with a sweep, then you run over all his drains.
Because they would you'd collapse them, would you?
Oh, of course they would, yes. They'd be in it by the time you finish with them.
Anything else you remember about traction, your time on the traction engines?
Oh, of course, you get lots of trouble with the clag valves when you've been picking up from muddy pools and things like that. Then you have to clean your boiler out, we'll say, about every month if you've been picking it up from a pond, because your mud gets crowded up. your boiler, you see, it gets all mud, and you've got a oval, sort of oval shaped what you can get it in the one way, and then you twist it and pull it back, you see, and you've got a seal down there, and then a nut, and you tighten that up, and that seals your boiler. It was sort of asbestos.
Did you have to clean the whole of the engine, your engine?
Whole
machine.
Yes, we used to have to, if we got a good pitch where the farmer got plenty of water and hose pipes and that, we used to get the hose pipes in the boiler and the tubes, clean the tubes out with your tube brushes and cork them up if there was any leaking, because sometimes if they leaked, if you was to put a bit of what we used to do, put some oatmeal in the water, and where they leak, that oatmeal runs to where it's leaking, and then the heat burns it on, so that'll hold you temporary for a fortnight, or it might go a month, but eventually you've got to get in your fire hole and cork it up with a corking tool.
Would you have to do all the maintenance on your own machine, or would you have an engineer, a proper engineer, to help?
No. You do the maintenance yourself.
So you didn't have a fitter to help you? Or
no. It's the same as when I was at, as I was telling you, you don't always pay to go in for things. with this Christmas holiday.
Hang on now, just got a couple more questions. Which was your favourite tractor, type of tractor engine? Because you said you were on the John Fowler's, the Marshall's, the Sentinel, the Foden, all these. What was there any that was your favourite, that you thought was the best, or the worst?
Well, it all depended on the load you was taking. If you was taking a big load of hay, we'd be stacked up as high as a house, you know, and as wide as this place. Wheels about that wide. Well, if you were taking a load like that, you'd fancy a John Fowler. But if you were taking, we'll say, some loads of gravel or loads of muck to a farmer or anything like that, you'd fancy a Foden wagon. You'd take which suited the load.
So they weren't any more efficient than each other. It was just that they were bigger. The Fowler was a bigger machine.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, of course, then you get the in between a tractor. You see, a tractor is between a phone wagon and a traction engine tractor.
But the Foden was a steam engine.
Oh yes, it was a steam engine. Yes.
Now, at one point, you were on this railway business of running to the colonial camp. Could you explain that? When was that, early on or late on?
That was earlier on.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, the army had a siding, had a private siding, you see, and they used to get the provisions, potatoes and stuff, and coal in the winter. Well, we used to have, there used to be the Anzacs, the New Zealanders, the Gurkhas, or the Canadians, all different colonials used to have different sections of Salisbury Plains, all the, you know, what's it, but they was all kept to themselves and that. But they used to be very good to us Tommies, because they knew that we didn't get the money as they was getting. And they used to be very good in a sense, you know. Give you anything as they got to whatever. But I remember it snowed one particular time, and they went absolutely barmy. They were going out buying cameras and all the rest of it to take the photographs of the snow.
So you were driving a steam engine on a proper train engine on that one, were you?
No, they're not proper. They were, well, you call them little bogey engines. They're little bogey engines. They're what private firms use,
So like a light railway?
Yeah, like a light railway. Yeah, they'll tell you not to get onto the main line. You mustn't get onto the main line with them. You get caught up. But I used to hook on to so many trucks and take them all up there. They'd be labelled, you know. Take them all up to the destinations and then go around and pick up a lot of empties, take them down to the siding, and leave them there, and the main line would come and pick them up and take them away for refilling again. Yeah, it was a good little job. I didn't dislike it at all.
Did you get on? You got on well with the colonials then?
Oh yes, we got on very well with them. Yeah. Oh.
No. Are there any other jobs you had while you were before you went to Ireland that you can remember?
Oh, I had jobs of all descriptions. I had this manure job, and I had the transport job, and
oh. So what happened about this?
I buy the German. Well, it was something all the while about, you know.
So what happened that you were telling me about how you came to go to Ireland. How did you come to go to Ireland?
How did that come about? They applied for a stoker, a driver, mechanic, and stoker. And unfortunately, it was just before the Christmas. And me and my stoker mate was the only two that happened to be available at the time. So I had to send a telegram home to the wife telling her that my cancel had been answered.